In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Zaniah and Kamaya, today you have received something that is so comforting, and it is so rich, and it is so fulfilling, and it is so enjoyable, and we rejoice for you, and we rejoice that we have received this gift also with you. And that is that in holy baptism, you have certainty. Certainty. Now, you are God's child, united to Christ right now, and you will have certainty later. You will be God's child forever, united to Christ in a death like his. How much more will you be united to Christ in a resurrection like his? He will raise you up on the last day and give eternal life to you and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, dear saints, how many things about your life are uncertain? You don't really know. You have to guess. You might have a good guess, but you can't actually be certain about it. How long will you live? What will tomorrow bring to your family and to your friends? What do people really think about you? Today, I want us to consider a specific verse from 1 Timothy about uncertainty and about certainty, especially about riches, of stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it's found in your bulletin. If you want to read it right below the sermon, it's up there on the slide as well. It speaks about certainty, or you can just hear it. St. Paul writes to Timothy, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Our Lord calls you to not set your hope on the uncertainty of riches. Hope is something that we have now in the present that is always looking to the future. And we are constantly tempted to think that there will be one day when we can finally enjoy our life. That's part of the text that really catches me off guard. I expect Paul to say to Timothy to set the hope on God, who richly provides you with everything you need, not everything you want. And there are parts of the Bible that are exactly like that. Jesus says your heavenly Father knows you need them, but that is not what this text says. It says that God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Here, we are told that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, for our pleasure. Do you think, dear saints, that you made up pleasure? It comes from God, and he knows exactly how to please you much better than you know how to please yourself. When you put your hope in God, that actually increases your enjoyment in all the things that he gives to you, in marriage, in family, in children, in work, in food and drink and friends, and also in money. And when you don't put your hope in God, that destroys your enjoyment. It puts the enjoyment of life off until the day when you will have enough money, or the day that you will have enough stuff, or the day when your family or your health or your job will finally be good enough to finally enjoy. And those days, dear saints, will never come. And if they come, they stay for such a temporary amount of time. They are so fleeting when that is your goal. Those things are too uncertain. Don't set your hopes on the uncertain things, but on God. And this not only destroys our enjoyment of the now of what God has given to us, we might even begin to love things and titles that can't love us back. For the love of money is a root to all kinds of evils. The worst is that we would begin to forget to love God, who loves us back fully and more confidently and more certainly than we love him. That is the certainty that you have received, Kamiah and Zaniah, that you know that God loves you. The rich God loves you, that you are his child, that he has forgiven you, that you are in him and he is in you, and that he will always receive you back with open arms because you are in his family. His love is certain right now, forever, for you, dear saints. God is love. We only begin to know what love is because we have received it from God. We have come to know, we have come to believe in this God who is love. His love is certain, and we begin to love him back because he first loved us. By beginning to do what he tells us to do, and how he tells us to treat others, and how he tells us to use our money and our stuff and ourselves, and we begin to also believe in who he is for us, that we should have no fear because God loves you. His love is perfect. And his perfect love begins to cast out all of your fears. God has not meant you for condemnation. He has not meant you for punishment. You are his child. You are loved by him. What do you possibly have to fear when God is your father? And with that certainty and with that fear begun to cast out, that again also promises that that is the foundation of our enjoyment of the now, even. The love of money is also a root of beginning to ignore people, to not love people. God can love us back, and people can begin to love us back. They can certainly reject our love, but many don't. Many begin to love you back. The story of our gospel reading had a rich man and a poor man. And the poor man named Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man. He was right there. He was right in front of him to be loved. God is the one who had provided all of the riches. And there was a man at his gate to be loved. And it says Lazarus, the only thing he desired was to be fed from what fell from the rich man's table. It wouldn't have taken much. We have so many people that God has laid at our gates, and we might even begin to admit that we don't have as much as they need, that we can't give them everything that we need, that we aren't enough, but crumbs help a little. And our cup overflows, and God richly provides us with everything so that we can begin to love him back and begin to love our neighbors as ourselves. There are people in your family, people in your home, people in your workplaces and in your church. They are suffering now. They have been laid at your gates, and you can help them a little from what falls from your rich table. People who need to hear again about not putting their hope in things that are uncertain, but in God, who is certain. People we are called not to ignore or to see as inconveniences, but in fact, the very objects of our love. The very reason that you have a body, and the very reason that you have a soul, and the very reason that you have stuff, like money and time and talents. So relieve their suffering just a little. We can begin to love God who has richly given us these things, and perhaps even love people who can love us back a little bit. And we don't, as we should. We confess our sins here, not only the sins in which we have done, but also in the sins that we have left undone. We too often fear for ourselves. We're too often so focused on ourselves. We too often see people as inconveniences and their needs as hurting us. We too often chase the wrong things. We too often go after the things that cannot be certain. And in that chasing, our sins have fallen us into a trap. We have fallen into a pit. And there is no getting out from that. The story of the rich man and Lazarus, when they both die, Lazarus goes to heaven and the rich man goes to hell. And the rich man wants Lazarus to come down to relieve him a little. And Abraham says, between us and you, there is a great chasm. None can pass from here to there or from there to here. There is a great space. When we chase these wrong things, we have fallen into a trap. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. There is a great chasm that separates Lazarus from the rich man when they have both died. And it is this chasm, not only between hope and despair, not only between unhappiness and joy and enjoyment in this life, it is a chasm between heaven and hell. And we deserve this great chasm between us and God, between us and the true hope and true enjoyment in the now, between us and the certainly in this life and the certainly in the life to come. But it is across this great chasm that Jesus has come for you, to deliver you, to save you from your selfishness and from hell itself. It is Jesus who has crossed this great chasm so that you can have true life right now and true enjoyment in all of the things that he has provided you right now with an absolute hope and certainty of the things that are to come. Your Jesus, dear saints, has crossed that chasm. And that is what you saw today in baptism. It is Jesus who came down, and he grabbed Zaniah, and he grabbed Kamiah, and they are his now. That is certain. And they will be his forever. And this Jesus is not a greedy God. St. Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet became poor for your sake, so that by his poverty you might have his riches. He gives and he gives and he gives, even to the point of giving himself to die for you on the cross, to pay for what you deserve. Jesus cried out, I thirst. Jesus suffered the torment and the anguish that we eternally deserve so that we might have his comfort now and forever. That he loves you and that you can be certain of it. Because you don't have to look in here, which is uncertain, and you don't have to look out there, which is uncertain, but that you can look to his love on the cross, which is absolutely sure, and it is absolutely certain. You have confidence in the day of judgment, so how much more do you have confidence in tomorrow? Even if you don't know what it'll bring. Jesus chases you down. Even when you are chasing the wrong things down. Jesus dives into a pit that you have fallen in. even if it's the same pit you fall in again and again. Jesus crosses over the chasm that you could not cross over because he did not want to see you separated from him now or separated you from him forever. And you are not. He is with you now. And you will be with him forever. Lazarus desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Dear saints, us poor, miserable sinners get to eat at the rich man's table. Jesus gives you his body. Jesus gives you his blood. You are children of God, and he feeds you with the richest food that you could possibly imagine. Food that will not perish. Food that will keep you in him forever and ever. So rejoice, dear saints. Your future is secure and it is certain. You know where you are going and you know who is with you now. And you know exactly what he thinks about you. You are God's child and an heir of the rich God who provides you with everything to enjoy. So rather than worry, or be in a constant greedy count, or to be in a constant search of the money or the things or the people or the titles that you think will bring you happiness, enjoy that God loves you now. And enjoy the certainties of God in a world that is full of uncertainties. And enjoy that you know that you have a full future in a new world and a new heaven and a new earth with absolutely no uncertainties, and enjoy all that gives you now. His forgiveness does not run out, and he also gives you family and work and money and entertaining things. Enjoy those things. And enjoy the things that God has given you now, that you have an opportunity to begin to love him back, and that you can begin to love others who might love you back. In Jesus' name, amen.